Happy Wednesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dowd, presenting our Macro Minute for Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. Hope everyone's having a great week. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is the consensus rush to acquire downside protection over yet? Answer, round one may be over, but there will likely be more rounds of Delta hedging in the absence of strong signals that the war will be contained from an inflation impact perspective. Touch on that shortly. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis. In terms of growth, the February ISM services PMI data supported our paradigm C theme and did not support our staking inflation theme. Recall that paradigm C is the grow phase of the cut, grow, print sequence required to address the geopolitically driven supply-demand imbalance in the treasury bond market. The sharp rally in the economy-weighted ISM composite PMI supported our paradigm C theme as well. The weak positive impulse in auto sales in February supported our paradigm C theme. The weak positive impulses in ADP private sector employment and ADP true private sector employment, which is ex-healthcare and education, in February did not support our jobless recovery thesis. Elsewhere in the Eurozone, the February composite PMI data did not support our outlook for moderating growth. In China, the official February composite PMI data did not support our outlook for firming growth. The unofficial February composite PMI data did, however. In Japan, the February composite PMI data supported our outlook for firming growth. And in the UK, the February composite PMI data did not support our outlook for moderating growth. Regarding inflation, which is the key topic today, the February ISM services PMI data supported our expectation for continued disinflation driven largely by housing and labor. The deceleration of median annual pay in the February ADP report supported our expectation for continued disinflation driven largely by housing and labor as well. Elsewhere, the investing public was severely caught off guard by the threat of a geopolitically driven spike in inflation, which we can observe via the greater than 90% strength of signal attributed to the current Goldilocks market regime as of last Friday, which is the day before the initial attacks. We could also observe this extreme vulnerability via the current breadth of bullish signals for sovereign bond markets, specifically global, Brazil, China, India, Switzerland, UK, and US, according to our global liquidity model. Recall that these signals are generated by the confluence of a downtrending consensus short-run potential headline CPI estimate, which is the blend of the current year and next year to smooth out the comparative base effects, as well, and the confluence of that and a trending negative inflation surprises. So if you think about this, taking a step back before we continue, markets were heavily positioned for a high probability of a continuation of the Goldilocks regime, as evidenced by that 90% strength of signal reading prior to the launch of the initial attacks. Investors were also very much expecting disinflation, not just domestically, but globally, as evidenced by the downtrend in that consensus short run potential headline CPI metric, which again is the blend of the current year and next year, which is a general sense of what economists across Global Wall Street think about inflation. They're all revising their inflation, generally revising their inflation outlooks lower. And this is coming on the heels of, or really being perpetuated by, generally speaking, trending negative inflation surprises in each of those regions, in each of those geographies. So clearly the market was not set up for dealing with a geopolitically driven spike in inflation. And so that's part of the reason why we saw such a rush for Delta hedging activity over the past few days. That rush will continue if there's any signal that the war will continue to evolve and break whatever the market's expectation for containment is from an inflation impact perspective, because then obviously you're talking about revising, pricing out rate hikes from sovereign debt, sovereign yield curves, particularly the US and the UK. You're talking about potentially pricing in, rate cuts, pricing out rate cuts from sovereign bond markets, money markets, particularly the US and the UK, and then potentially pricing in some tightening out of the ECB and incremental tightening, or rather policy normalization by the Bank of Japan. So obviously, this is a vulnerable condition that was shocked by a political catalyst, and now market participants are rushing to acquire Delta hedges, or were rushing to acquire Delta hedges to deal with that. Getting back into this executive summary, monetary policy, nothing actionable today. Fiscal policy, this was interesting. Turkey was struck on Wednesday marking the first attack on a NATO member since the hostilities began. The strike came despite the country not participating in the war and refusing to permit its airspace to be used for operations targeting Iran. For what it's worth, Turkey hosts a NATO ballistic missile defense early warning radar, Kirisik, roughly 435 miles west of Iran's border, where debris from an interceptor landed about 60 miles away. So the reason I put this in fiscal policy is because, as we talked about in our Around the Horn webcast on Saturday, and in our lead-off morning note on Monday, the U.S. simply cannot afford extended geopolitical conflicts. I mean, in theory, it could. It'll eventually print the money. But from the perspective of our already widening budget deficit on a fiscal annualized fiscal year-to-date basis, and in the from the perspective of the runaway freight train that is double-digit compound growth in true interest expense, which is a metric we borrowed from our friend Lou Gromis over at Forest for the Trees. That's the sum of Medicare, national defense, net interest, and Social Security. The runaway freight train that is true interest expense, plus the fact that we're slashing a hole in the already large budget deficit with ABBA in terms of the reduction in tax collections that we're going to see from the income, individual income, and corporate tax side of things. This is a terrible time to start a big war. And so striking a NATO ring, and I bring this up, is striking a NATO country will obviously entangle the U.S. into a further military engagement and, you know, potentially risk, you know, a very large-scale engagement in Iran and any other neighboring countries that Iran supports from a terrorism perspective. So, you know, be on the radar for that and the impact that they may have on sovereign yield curves across the world. With regards to the sector liquidity, nothing actionable, positioning. Geopolitical risk deteriorated after Iran rejected reports of outreach to Washington for negotiations with Iran's military Ministry of Intelligence, declaring attained that Tehran had contacted the CIA to be, quote, pure falsehood and psychological warfare. This comes amid Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth asserting that the U.S. and Israeli forces are approaching full operational dominance of Iranian airspace as both governments prepare to intensify strikes deeper inside Iran. Roughly a dozen countries are now entangled in the widening conflict as Tehran launches attacks on U.S. military bases and embassies across the Middle East, while Israel conducts simultaneous air and ground operations against Iranian-aligned Hezbollah in Lebanon. And again, the reason we bring this up in the positioning cycle, especially with respect to the Delta hedging, doesn't look like Iran's going to roll over easily here. I mean, they're obviously going to get their butts whipped. So the sooner they give up, the better for them in terms of the Iranian leadership. But if they're going to dig in and reject, you know, calls for peace, this is going to last, and it's going to last as long as they, you know, it's lasted for thousands of years. So I doubt this conflict is going to end the hostilities between the Muslim and Christian world, or at least the radical Muslim and Christian world. It's not going to end those hostilities. So just be aware of that. So, you know, obviously we're dealing with uncertainty. We're not dealing with risk. We're dealing with uncertainty. We don't know the full distribution of this outcome, but we know it's, you know, we're moving from a high probability Goldilocks regime where consensus was generally expecting a broad disinflation across many economies that was being confirmed by trending disinflationary, trending downside surprises inflation across a broad swath of major economies to $80, $90, potentially $100 crude oil and prolonged geopolitical conflict and congestion with regards to shipping. So that's a big jump condition and risk. So answering the key question of the day, is the consensus rush to acquire downside protection over yet? I don't know, but as long as inflation's an issue, it won't be. So we'll we'll transition to our 42 micro dashboard. As always, a wrap up with a question from our community. This one's not a question, but a comment, an important comment. It says titled 42 Macro Partnership. It says, Hughes, congrats to DD on the official Thoughtful Money partnership with Adam Taggart. Long overdue and well-deserved. I've also been watching Adam over the years and couldn't recommend a more grounded guy to form a partnership with. Huge blessings to you and your family. And then another member of our global investor community highlights, yes, good job, Skipper, always watching you on YouTube. So just want to say thank you. Just flag that partnership. So we are the officially endorsed DIY investment solution for the hundreds of thousands of investors in the Thoughtful Money global investor community. Really grateful for our friend, my personal friend, close personal friend, Adam Taggart, wonderful human being. Doing a lot of great work for, do a lot of the Lord's work in the context of the skills that the Lord blessed him and me with. So really, really excited to begin that partnership as the official DIY solutions provider for Thoughtful Money. Obviously, you know, we don't show our KISS and Dr. Mo signals. Those are, you know, reserved for our, exclusively for our audience, for, you know, inside of our paywall for our global investor community. But those are the, you know, those are the signals that that's, those are the tools that keep our clients on the right side of market risk. I mean, you know, we talked about in that conversation, which Adam released on Tuesday. Definitely check that out at my latest discussion with him on Thoughtful Money. You know, as Adam, as we talked about Adam on Tuesday, you know, Adam was pretty kind to highlight our investing success since we launched this company. And obviously since we've been, you know, having those conversations with them, and we don't, generally speaking, on the right side of market risk since we started the company 5 years ago. And that's not by luck, nor is it by, you know, my ability to predict the future with regards to fundamental economic dynamics. It has nothing to do with either of those. I mean, it has something to do with either of those things, but largely speaking, it's KISS and it's Dr. Mo. KISS being the institutional grade risk management overlay we use to help retail investors stay on the right side of market risk, and Dr. Mo being the institutional grade risk management overlay that we use to help institutional investors and highly sophisticated retail traders stay on the right side of market risk. So definitely check it out. Check us out. I really appreciate you guys tuning into these macro minutes. Appreciate you guys tuning into my discussions with Adam on YouTube. We get a lot of positive feedback when I'm on those sort of long form discussions, which unfortunately I don't have as much time as I used to do those discussions. You know, we also partner with a PR partner that wants to be, you know, primarily focused on broadcast media in terms of growing our business. So, you know, I'm respecting their wishes there as well. So you guys unfortunately don't get to see me in the long form discussions like I used to, but one of the things I personally like about those long form discussions is, you know, I get to slow down and kind of explain things in a way, even more so than I do, you know, let's say in our round the horn or our macro scouting reports, where we have a lot of content to get through in a short amount of time. You know, my expectation, you know, for the folks who are watching our round the horns and our macro scouting reports is that they, you know, invest some of their time to come up the curve using our litany of educational resources here that you can access in the dashboard. We got our KISS FAQ, we got our Dr. Mo FAQ, we got our investing during a four turning regime FAQ, which is where all those paradigms come from. Paradigm A through E, A being the geopolitical driven supply demand imbalance in the treasury bond market. Paradigm B being the cut phase of the cut grow print sequence required to deal with paradigm A. C being the grow phase, and ultimately D being the print phase, the debasement phase. And so that's where we're all headed in our opinion. And it's incumbent upon us to you know, constantly be monitoring the six key macro cycles, the evolution of those six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets, so that we can have a good handle on the transitions from paradigm to paradigm. Because it's not necessarily has to be linear, and certainly doesn't have to occur on the timeline horizon that we initially set out. You know, so you have to be Bayesian about this, even though we have a structural framework. We also have our glossary where we explain all of our models, how they interact with each other, how we generally think about the world, how we generally think about forecasting those six key macro cycles, and ultimately how we generally think about managing risk in financial markets. So there's a lot of terms and definitions and ultimately explanations in that, which is exclusive to our global investor community. And then our macro class, which is not exclusive to our global investor community, we make that free for everyone in the world to you know, get the what we consider to be the best. It's the best bang for your buck in terms of time, the expense of time that you would have to commit to getting up to speed, to learning how to think about managing financial market risk and ultimately managing financial market risk like an institutional investor. So that macro class, about 3 hours across three different segments. So 3 hours total, 1 hour segment each, to get you up to speed on the kind of insights that, you know, we discuss here in our global investor community that I'm discussing with many of the world's top investment managers. Recall that one of my former clients is the current Treasury Secretary. One of my former clients is someone who almost made the he was certainly on the final cut to be the Fed chair. So, you know, this is not Reddit research. This is some of the best institutional research on global Wall Street. And I'm in absolutely no words about that. You can check our track record. So we'll wrap it up there. Terry Stell here presenting our Macro Minute for Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. Best of luck out there today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle. nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.